Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Habayim, welcome everybody to our Shir Rambam Hilchis Talmud Torah, Perek Chamishi, the fifth chapter of the Laws of Torah Study. This chapter is dedicated to the extraordinary respect and honor that a student gives to the teacher and the profound love, dedication, and commitment that the teacher gives to the student at the end of the chapter. Before we begin, I want to say a few words of introduction to be able to put in context this entire chapter. In the Jewish world, among the Jewish people, the teacher, the Rebbe, was one of its greatest heroes. Other cultures, other tribes, other nations, they often had different types of heroes. But for the Jewish people, education was one of the most important, if not the most important value, and therefore the teacher, the Rebbe, the mentor, the pedagogue, the person who dedicates his or her life to create a Jewish tomorrow, to create continuity, to bequeath the values, the ethics, the wisdom, the teachings, the truths of the previous generations to the next generation, were seen in extraordinary light as heroes and as the true ultimate leaders of the Jewish people, those who secure its past, its present, and its future. This tremendous reverence, awe, respect, and love that Judaism encourages us and asks of us to share towards our teachers, our mentors, our rebbes, is what's expressed in this chapter of Rambam. It's also important to emphasize that most of the laws that we're going to be learning in this chapter, as the Rambam is going to make clear towards the end of the chapter, refers not just to any teacher or educator or pedagogue, even though each of them deserves our affection and respect, but to the particular type of teacher and particular type of student whom the Rambam is going to define as a Talmud Muvik and a Rebbe Muvik, which means a mentor, a teacher, a Rebbe, who not only shares information with me, not only inspires me once in a while, but those unique individuals who dedicate their lives to shape the moral, spiritual, intellectual, psychological, and emotional character of the student. These were Rebbes throughout Jewish history who not only taught information, but for years and years and years, students would sit at their feet and their entire identity as humans and Jews was deeply impacted, molded, sculptured by these teachers who were dedicated to them day and night for many, many years. As the Rambam would say, teachers who teach you the majority of your wisdom, scholarship, wisdom, moral wisdom, halachic wisdom, spiritual wisdom. In many ways, these teachers were like fathers. You have a biological father and you have a father who gives meaning to your life, purpose to your life, depth to your life. Like Chazal tell us, when you teach somebody Torah, it's like you gave birth to them. This is not just a cute, anecdotal, metaphoric statement. There is a very profound truth. When I really give Torah to a person, it's a new type of birth. It gives them a sense of rebirth, as it adds a new dimension of life to their life, the meaning of life, the depth of life, the ability to suck the marrow out of life and to live life to the fullest, to live up to your divine Torah potential. I mention one more statement as an introduction, and this is a Hasidic interpretation to a statement that the Rambam is going to say in the first halacha. It says in Pirkei Avos that Moira Rabach is Kemoira Shamayim. The awe of your teacher must be like the awe that you have from heaven. And one of the great Hasidic masters gave what I believe is a very powerful and authentic interpretation. He said, Meir Rabach Kamar Shamayim is not only an injunction and an instruction. It's also a prediction. And it's stating a deep fact. Your fear of your teacher will be commensurate with his fear of heaven. Meir Rabach Kamar Shamayim. Your reverence to your teacher will just be a mirror and reflection of his reverence towards heaven. Which means the power of the Rebbe in Jewish life is one thing and one thing only. It's not because of his brains or his looks or his charisma or his ability to influence. It's one key issue, and that is his own fear of heaven. The real Rebbe is the one who becomes the full embodiment of Torah. That his entire life is a reflection of the values, the ethics, the Weltanschauung, the perspective, the spiritual refinement of Torah. That he aligns his entire life with Hashem's infinite love and wisdom, as the Rambam discussed earlier in Hilchos Deis about the great Chacham. This then he can bequeath to his students. So my reverence of my teacher will always be a reflection of his reverence of God. When his reverence of God is truly penetrating, it will just be reflected in my reverence of him, because he becomes a conduit through which I experience the truth of Hashem. If it ever becomes about ego or manipulation or personal interests, like we learned in the previous chapter, you know, using it for money and so forth, then it's completely not what we're addressing in this chapter. Says the Rambam, Hilchis Talmud Torah, Perek Chamishi, Halacha Aleph. Just as a person is instructed to respect his father and show reverence to his father, so one is obligated to respect his teacher, his master, and show reverence to his teacher. But his teacher in this regard, even more than his father, and as I mentioned, and we will explain later, we're talking here about a unique teacher. The teacher who has molded your character, from whom you learned the majority of your Torah wisdom. Why greater than a father? Sha'aviv mivi'i l'chayo ilam haza, because his father gives him the life of this world. V'rabbi shalimdoi chachma mivi'i l'chayo ilam haba. His Rebbe who taught him wisdom brings him to the life of the next world. Practically speaking, what does this mean? Ro'a avedas aviv avedas rabbi. If we have a mitzvah, Shavas Aveda, if I see a lost object of a fellow Jew, I'm obligated to retrieve it and return it to its rightful owner. What happens if two people lost an object, and I see my father lost an object and my Rebbe lost an object? So hopefully I can retrieve both. But maybe I won't be able to, or maybe I have to do one before the other. So he says, Shor Rabbi Kedemes L'Shalaviv. First, you return the lost object of your master, of your Rebbe, and then your father. His father and his Rebbe, again, this is talking about his permanent Rebbe, the one who has given him his much of his spiritual and academic entire life. They're both carrying a burden, and there's a mitzvah to help them. First, he goes to his Rebbe and relieves him from the burden, and then to his father. What if his father and his Rebbe, the Rebbe who has given him Olam Haba, the Rebbe who shaped his life, who shaped his character, they have both been abducted, they are in captivity. Of course, there's a mitzvah to do anything you can to redeem both of them and redeem anyone else who is in captivity. But first, you redeem your Rebbe and then your father. However, if his father is also a Talmud Chacham, a Torah sage, Poides of Ivtchila, then he redeems his father first. Say, if his father is a Torah sage, even if he's not on the level of his Rebbe, he should first return his father's lost object and only then return his Rebbe's lost object. I think it's worthwhile to mention here what the Rama says. I should say there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, Yoyredeya Siman Reish Mem Beis, and a big part of it is a copy of this Perik of Rambam Hilchas Talmud Torah. Not all of it, and there are quite a few additions, but a major bulk of it is like is a copy of this Rambam. So in that siman, in the Rama and Yoyredeya, the Rama says, and this is what he says, is V'chein Iker, this is the halacha, that all of these, everything we just learned, is only in a situation where his Rebbe has taught him all the Torah for free. There was no money involved. But if his father is the one who hired the teacher and who paid the teacher in order to be able to teach his son Torah, even if he becomes that teacher who teaches him for years and years, his father comes first. Aviv kaidem l'chol davar, because ultimately his father gets the credit for everything and his father comes before his Rebbe in all of these matters. This is what the Rama, Rabbeinu Moshe Isserlish Paskins in Yerodei Reish Membeis. Continues the Rambam, v'ein l'cha kavod gadol mikvoid harav, v'loi meira mimeira harav. There is no respect greater in Judaism than the respect we confer upon our teachers, and no awe greater than the awe we confer upon ourselves towards our teachers. Amru Chachamim, the sages said in Pirkei Avos, Meira Rabbach k'meira shamayim. The awe of your Rebbe should be like the awe of heaven. Lefich Chachamru, and therefore the sages also said in Sanhedrin Kofiut, Kol Achayla Kal Rabbi k'chayla kal Ashchina. Somebody who splits away from his Rebbe, it's like he's splitting himself away from the divine presence. As the Rambam is going to discuss in Halacha Beis Shenemar, it says, "Ba'atzoisom al Hashem," in the story of Korach, Bamidbar Perek Chavav, when Korach and his people create a war, a mutiny, a revolution against Moshe Rabbeinu, even though their fight was against Moshe and his Torah, but it says, Ba'atzoy Samal Hashem, they ignited a fire against God. Somebody who goes to war with his teacher. He enters into a quarrel, a conflict with his teacher. It's like he enters to war with God. Shenemar, Pasuk says in Chukas, Asher Ravu Bnei Yisrael Es Hashem, Vayi Kadesh Bom. The Jews quarreled, they fought with Hashem, and he was sanctified through them, known as the Mei Meriva, when they came to fight Moshe Rabbeinu, complaining about the lack of water. He says it was a fight with Hashem. And somebody who attacks his teacher, Kemisrayim al Hashem, it's like he attacks Hashem, Shenemar, Lo Yaleinu Slunei Seichem, Ki al Hashem, and Parshas B'Shalach. When they come attacking Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, it's not us you're attacking, it's Hashem. And somebody who thinks disparagingly, negatively about his Rebbe, Ki lo Mahari Racha Shechin, it's like he's having these thoughts about Hashem, Shenemar, Vayidaber Ha'om Be'elokim U'be'Moshe. The nation spoke against God and against Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Mechilta famously asked, if they spoke against God, so you have to tell me that they also spoke against Moshe, Vayidaber Ha'om Be'elokim U'be'Moshe. If they spoke against God, they could certainly speak against Moshe, and the Mechilta says that the Pasuk is trying to tell us, when you speak or you think disparagingly, negatively, disgustingly, obnoxiously against the shepherd of the Jewish people, it's really your bullets, your arrows are directed against the Shechina. And the theme is very obvious but very important to emphasize. And it's in all of Moshe's words. The real Rebbe is somebody who's a manifestation of God's will. Somebody who breathes Torah, who lives Torah, whose ego is suspended to become a complete conduit for Torah and for Hashem. This is the true Rebbe. So the Rambam says, when somebody attacks or fights or conflict or goes to war or splits himself away from this Rebbe, it's not just my ego versus your ego. If it's an authentic Rebbe, Moira Rabbach, the Rebbe who we said, that reverence of him for him is like the reverence of God. Or as explained earlier, the homiletical interpretation, your fear of him will be a replica of his fear of Hashem. As much as he fears Hashem, that's how much you're going to fear him, because his entire eye is aligned with divinity, with infinity. Then a war against such a Rebbe, the Rambam says, is a war against the divine presence in our world. Beis, Ezel Chalik HaRabbah. What does it mean he splits away from his Rebbe? What does it mean? It means that he has another opinion. What does it mean? So the Rambam says, let me tell you what it means. In Yiddish, this man establishes a yeshiva, a house of learning, and he sits, and he instructs, and he teaches without the consent of his Rebbe. This Rebbe, the Rebbe Movik, the one who gave him the majority of his wisdom and shaped him, the one who gave his life in order to bequeath Torah to him, and his Rebbe is still alive, and he establishes a whole independent presence where he teaches and learns, not with the permission and the consent and encouragement of his Rebbe. This is called splitting away. Even though his Rebbe is in another country, what's the issue here? This is called Chaylik al-Rabbi. You, the greatest privilege in Judaism is the Talmud, who wants to sit and bask in the radiance, in the truth, in the wisdom of the Rebbe, because his Rebbe is the one who is the conduit for authentic Torah. So naturally, what is the greatest privilege for this student? To sit and bask in the radiance, in the wisdom of the Rebbe, without even experiencing himself independently. I'll give you an example I heard from my Rebbe, and that is, why on Rosh Chodesh don't we see the moon? What happens on Rosh Chodesh? We call it the birth of the new moon, the Moilad HaLevana. What happens then? You know what happens then? What happens then is that the moon is exactly between the sun and the earth. So the half of the moon, the half of the bull that we usually perceive is facing the sun. So if the sun is here and the moon is facing the sun, and then you have the earth, we only see the dark side of the moon, because the entire radiant, bright side of the moon is experiencing the light of the sun, and it's turned away from the earth. And then when the moon begins its orbit, so we start seeing a little crevice, a little sliver, until the moon distances itself more and more from the sun, until on the 15th day of the month we see the moon in its full glory because of its distance. In other words, when the moon is closest to the sun, you don't see its light. Why? because this is the moment that it is, so to speak, unified with the sun. It's that complete student who is completely subservient and absorbing the light of the sun, and therefore you don't see the moon. The moon is not a separate entity. The more distant the moon goes from the sun, the more you could see the light. The greatest moment of the student is when you do not see his light at all because he's basking in the light of his teacher. There comes a time, however, his teacher says, it's time for you to acquire wings, move away, and create a new generation of students, especially after the teacher passes away. But even before the teacher passes away, the teacher gives him permission and empowers him. But this fellow didn't speak to his teacher, didn't ask his teacher permission. This means that the ego has taken over. There is an ego element here. He splits away from his teacher, and he becomes the independent thinker who not only has a disagreement, the Ramah explains in Yeridaya, this doesn't mean, you're not allowed to have a different opinion than your teacher. The whole Gemara is filled with students who argued with their teacher, but with respect, with awe, with reverence. Very often students are supposed to argue with a teacher. If you have a different opinion in Torah, intellectual integrity is paramount. If your teacher asks you, what's your opinion? Of course you have to argue with him. And even if he doesn't ask you, respectfully, Chayla Kal Rabbi, doesn't mean you don't have another opinion. Chayla Kal Rabbi means you split away from your teacher. The Rambam says, it's forbidden for a person to give instructions, to give halachic instructions in the presence of his Rebbe, ever. In other words, in front of his Rebbe, when this moon is in the presence of the sun, you don't see the moon. In the presence of his Rebbe, where does a student come to give a halachic verdict? He's not allowed to. In other words, even if he gives you permission, but in the presence of his Rebbe, refer to the Rebbe. Even if he gives you permission. When you go away from your Rebbe, as he said, you're elsewhere, he gives you permission, of course you should teach. But in front of your Rebbe, even if he gives you permission, you're not allowed to give an instruction, halachic instruction, what to do. And somebody who guides and gives instructions in halacha in the face, in the presence of his Rebbe, is liable to a spiritual heavenly death penalty. What is the Rambam telling us here? It's like I'm separating myself from my spiritual life. The whole light of the moon comes from the sun. The moon is a reflection of the sun. The spiritual life of the Jew comes from Torah Kihem Chayenu Ve'erech Yameinu. If I suddenly acquire that level of separateness and autonomy in the presence of his Rebbe, he's giving over halacha, he's chayev misa, because essentially this means that he is detaching himself from his spiritual oxygen, from his spiritual source of life, because the Rebbe is the conduit for divine spiritual life that comes to the student. Gimel. What happens if between him and his Rebbe there's 12 mil, which is approximately 12 kilometers, I would say approximately 8 miles between him and his Rebbe, and somebody asks him a dvar halacha? Mutar lahashif. The student is allowed to answer. Ulahafrish mina isur. If it's to separate something, somebody from something forbidden, from a forbidden act, even in front of his Rebbe, he's allowed to say the halachic verdict. If he sees somebody doing something forbidden because he didn't realize it's forbidden, or because it's a weak moment, he's behaving in an inappropriate way, even in front of his Rebbe's face, he must separate this person and say, you're not allowed to, this is wrong. Even if his Rebbe didn't give him permission, how could he go and right in front of his Rebbe give over the halacha? The answer is, shekol makim sheyesh chilul Hashem ein chilkin kavod larav. If God's name is going to be desecrated, we do not show any deference, any respect to the master. And here we could see the principle behind all of these halachas. Why? Your teacher is right in front of you. How could you give over a halach in front of your teacher? He didn't give you permission. The answer is, the whole reason we show so much respect and awe towards a teacher is only because of his selflessness. Because the teacher is somebody who becomes an embodiment of Torah without any personal interests and egotism involved. If as a result of respecting my teacher, there's a chilul Hashem, there's something wrong happening, then ein chelkin kavod l'rav, then the whole basis of respecting the teacher is gone. The whole reason where I respect my teacher is because he's a full embodiment of Hashem's will. But if as a result of that, what's happening? The wrong thing is happening, a crime is being perpetrated, a sin is happening right in front of me, then I have an obligation to speak up even though it's in front of my teacher. When was this said? That if I'm 12 kilometers away from my teacher, I could give over a halacha even though my teacher is alive. That's all. If it happens, person asks a question, even though my teacher didn't give me permission. It's 12 kilometers. It's before cell phones. I can't make him go there. If it's less than 12 kilometers, we said you're not allowed to, because it's still called in the presence of your teacher, right? You're 8 miles away from the teacher. You send them to your teacher. But if it's 12 kilometers away, you could. But that's only if it happens. But to establish himself as a source of instruction and to sit and to give official guidance to everyone who questions anything, even if he's on one end of the world and his teacher's the other end of the world, he's not allowed to establish that authority that I am now the one who's giving you guidance unless there's two conditions. Number one, the teacher passes away and now the baton is passed to the next generation. Or even if the teacher lives many long, happy, healthy years, he gave you permission. In other words, you're empowered and inspired. This means you're a continuum of your teacher's wisdom. Giving you permission means he says, I want you to do this. I'm happy. Now you become part of the unbreakable Messiah of Klal Yisrael. The reason why teachers are so important is because Torah is a Messiah. It's a tradition that was given over from Moshe Rabbeinu, especially before everything was written down. It was all about student and teacher relationship. There were no texts. Remember we learned the introduction of the Rambam? So the teacher-student relationship was the most pivotal, essential ingredient in the transmission of Torah, wisdom, and truth from generation to generation. So when my teacher gives me permission, he says, open up a yeshiva, start teaching. Gevaldik, now I become a continuum of that Messiah. But if my teacher is a little skeptical about me, maybe my knowledge, maybe he doesn't give me permission, then the Rambam says, you're not allowed to do this. Even at the other end of the world, even the other end of the world, I'm not allowed to be Moira Halacha unless with my teacher's permission. Again, if it's a coincidence, somebody asks me a question and it's 12 kilometers away, then you're allowed to give a psak din in front of your teacher. The Rambam said, you never, ever give an instruction if it's mamish in the presence of your teacher. You don't, even if he gives you permission. Of course, if he asks you your opinion, you say your opinion. But even if you know that your teacher would give you permission, unless your teacher asks you in front of your Rebbe, you do not share the halacha. This is the awe and the respect you show the Rebbe when you're in front of him. Again, when the moon is right in closest proximity to the sun, you do not see its light. And if you do see its light, it means there is distance. If a teacher, and I want you to understand these halachas, they're not just rigid instructions. They are reflections of psychological and spiritual truths. When I am a real student, let me put it this way. When halacha says you shouldn't do something, it's another way of saying when you're in touch with truth, you won't behave this way. When halacha says you shouldn't do it, it means when you appreciate reality, you will realize that this behavior is inappropriate, or this behavior is appropriate. If a real student is standing in front of the teacher and he has the ability to open his mouth in lieu of his teacher and say what's the right thing to do, it means there's something wrong about this relationship. There's something off. When the moon is in the closest proximity to the sun, you do not see any of its light. Not because it doesn't exist, because its entire existence is in a state of absorption. I'm a recipient. I, the same student, a few miles from here, becomes the greatest communicator and teacher. That's true. On the 15th day of the month, the radiance of the moon is exceptional. But on Rosh Chodesh, I only see the sun. I only see the sun. Throughout Jewish history, we have seen this reality again and again. There were individual personalities in their own hometowns. They were gigantic, charismatic teachers, brilliant leaders, orators, expounders of wisdom. In the presence of their Rebbe, it's as though they didn't exist. Not because they lost their power, not because they were intimidated, not because their Rebbe took away their freedom, because at the moment that the sun is closest to the moon, it's just a reflection of the light of the sun. And nobody can see the moon's light because it's the light of the sun that is so visible. And that's paradoxically the moment that the student becomes the smartest, that the student gets the deepest wisdom. Dalit. Just because the Rebbe passed away doesn't mean every student could now become an instructor of Torah. It has to be a student who trained and learned enough until he reached a point where he has the knowledge and the moral integrity and the scholarship and the wisdom to be able to start guiding people in terms of halacha. Any student who did not reach this place of maturity, of really having the wisdom and the integrity to be able to give instruction, but he does it anyway. He's a fool. And Russia, he's wicked. And Vegas Ruach, and he is arrogant. three quite descriptive names for this individual. Shoite, Rasha, Vegas Ruach. And as the Medrash Shmuel explains, he says, let me tell you why he's a fool. He's a fool because he's going to say the wrong thing, and he's going to create a lot of enemies. And he's giving instructions, and there's going to be people who are going to despise him and loathe him. So he's really entering into an arena which is just going to create hatred against him, and he's going to make a fool out of himself. He's a Rasha, he's wicked, and we understand why. If you don't really know the right thing to say, if you do not really have the experience and the wisdom to be able to give the verdict, and you're giving verdicts anyway, that's wrong. That's inappropriate. And we can also understand why he's a gas ruach, why he's arrogant. It's the arrogance, it's the deep insecurity or pompousness that brought him to be in a position where he doesn't belong. This is not where you belong. Va'alav nemar. On him there is a pasuk, ki rabim chalolim hi pila v'goymer, in Mishlei Perek Zayin, which is an incredible chapter in Proverbs chapter 7. You should learn it. Shlomo HaMelech warns his son about going astray and being lured into traps of people and ideas that will drain you of your energy. The mashal he gives there is the zayna, the harlot, the promiscuous woman who with her external glitz and beauty dazzles you and manages to abduct your soul, and you get lost and you fall into the abyss for eternity. A very powerful chapter. And Shlomo HaMelech says there, don't get lost in the winding crooked paths of this promiscuous person who wants to lure you in with the power of temptation. Ki rabim chalolim hi pila v'atzumim kol harugeha. Because the corpses that were slain by her are many. V'atzumim kol harugeha, the numbers of those she killed are prodigious. Extraordinary, mind-staggering numbers. So the Rambam says, Chazal used this pasuk and saw it as a metaphor for two individuals. Alav namaki rabim chalolim hipila. The person who teaches halacha and gives instruction without having the proper training and the proper wisdom, we say about this person that many corpses have come about because of his inappropriate rising and assuming a position of power which he does not belong in. And the key word here is hipila. Hipila represents someone, a baby who's stillborn, because the fetus did not develop in the womb in a way that it could be born a healthy baby. This person is like a neifel. You did not develop enough in Torah to reach this place. And the Rambam now parenthetically says, conversely, a sage who actually reached the position where he could teach, but he does not. He prevents Torah and he creates obstacles in front of the blind. This is a confusing world. People are morally and spiritually blind. And if you can guide them and show them the right path because you have the wisdom and the experience and the integrity and you don't, you're also guilty. On him it says, he also caused many deaths. And here the word is atzumim, which means oitzem, you close your eyes. When I'm guilty by the sin of passivity, I close my eyes and I say, I don't see, I don't know, I'm not interested. Just like somebody who is incompetent and takes power, he is responsible. The other way around, if I am competent, if I do have the resources, if I do have the knowledge, I do have the wisdom, and I close my eyes and I make believe I can do it, the Rambam says this is also a very serious crime. Eilu HaTalmidim HaKtanim, Rabim Chalolim Mipilo refers to the young students, Shelo Hirbu Torah Karoi, they did not learn enough Torah. Vehei Mevakshim Lizgadol B'fnei Amor Tzubin Anshei Yirom. But they aspire to become great among the simple folk and among the people of the city. So what do? They kaiftzim, they jump. V'yoshvim B'roish, and they sit at the head table. Ladin Ulahiris B'Yisrael, to become those who will give instructions and verdicts to all the Jewish people. The Rambam says, let me tell you about these individuals. Heim Hamar B'Mamachloikas. The first thing is they increase strife and fighting. Number two, Heim Hamachrivim Esayim, they destroy the world. Number three, Hamachabim Ne'erishol Torah, they extinguish the flame of Torah. Number four, Hamachablim Kerem Hashem Tzva'ois, they harm the divine vineyard. V'aleihem amar Shlomo b'chachmasi, about these people, Shlomo said in his wisdom, Shir Hashirim chapter 2, Echezu lanu shualim shualim ktanim mechablim kramim uchurameinu smadar. Please catch those foxes, those small young foxes who have penetrated and are harming our vineyard, which is blossoming. Rambam says these are the little foxes. It just takes a little fox to come into a beautiful vineyard and destroy it. Why does he use these four expressions for these individuals who did not gain the proper wisdom and knowledge to be able to lead and guide. First of all, they create machloikas, strife, animosity, division. Number two, they destroy the world. Number three, they extinguish the light and flame of Torah. Number four, they destroy and harm God's vineyard. Think about it. Hey, it's forbidden for a student to refer to his teacher just by his name, even if it's not in the presence of his teacher. You have a teacher, his name is Chaim. Just to say, oh, Chaim so-and-so said, that's inappropriate. Even if he's not there, you mention him as your Rebbe, as your teacher. In front of him, he shouldn't even mention his name. Even if it's somebody else's name, but the name of the teacher in front of him, he shouldn't mention. Furthermore, even calling other people by their name, but it happens to be that their name is like his teacher's name. So just like with your father, you should avoid this. You should not call somebody else by their name if it's the exact name like your father. Rather, you should give them a nickname. You should change their name, even if it's after the death of one's father or one's teacher. So they're not alive anymore. Still, it's disrespectful to call other people by the same name, even though it's another person. This is only if it's a unique name, if it's the name is an anamal, it's a strange name. So when you say it, people think you're actually referring to your teacher or your father because they have the same name. But if it's a regular name, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, David, these are common names. So when I call somebody Moshe, even if my father's name was Moshe or my Rebbe's name was Moshe, it's fine because nobody thinks I'm referring to my father and my teacher. But if it's some unique, strange name that is very uncommon now, when I'm calling somebody by that name, even though I mean to call somebody else, but nonetheless, I should actually give them a different name by which I call them as a respect for my father and my teacher. Because people will think I'm just referring to my father and my teacher with their first name, and it's disrespectful. That's the Rambam is sharing this. I read the Rambam according to the text of the manuscript of what's known as the Oxford manuscript of Rambam, because there are different variations in the text. Some of them have raised many questions. The Kesef Mishnah discusses this, but I follow the manuscript of Oxford. And just to note a very interesting thing, and that is the Taz, the great Reb David Segal, one of the commentators on Shulchan Aruch, Yoyredeya Simen Reish Mem Beis, if Katan Dalit struggles with the text of the Rambam because he did not see the Oxford manuscript of the Rambam, and he suggests to amend the text of the Rambam. And the fascinating thing is when they discovered the Oxford manuscript of Rambam, the manuscript of Rambam that was found in Oxford University, it was identical to the corrections that the Taz, who lived in the 1600s, suggested in the text of the Rambam. Kama gedolim divrei chachamim. You have a person like the Taz, and he saw the manuscript of the Rambam, and he said, there's a mistake here, and I think you have to change the text, and it turns out that his corrections were identical with an older manuscript of the Rambam's text. It just goes to show you the power of somebody who learns Torah in an authentic fashion. Somebody asked a very interesting question. How is it that people give a name to their child after their father, after their Rebbe? And now you're calling that child, right? You're calling that child by the name of your Rebbe and of your teacher. Even if it's a common name, he said if it's a common name, it's Nishka Ferlich, even though here it's actually you want people to know that it's after your Rebbe, but especially if it's an uncommon name and you're calling your child that name, what happens? But I don't think it's a question because the whole reason why you're giving your child this name is to show your respect to your Rebbe. It's part of your covered rabbi. It's part of your kibbutz. That's the whole purpose. You want to perpetuate the name. It's a schus for you that your child has the name of your Rebbe. So even though you're calling your child by that name, the whole purpose of it is the respect to your Rebbe. So that may be a different situation. We know the Sefer HaAruch writes a very interesting thing about Abaya. Abaya was an orphan, and he was raised by his uncle. His uncle's name was Rabba, the famous Rabba. Abaya learned by Rabba. So the Aruch says that really Abaya's name wasn't Abaya. Abaya's name was Nachmeni. But the Rabba did not want to call him Nachmeni. Why? Because Nachmeni was his own father's name. His nephew, Abaya, was named after his grandfather, Nachmeni. Rabba was a son of Nachmeni, so he didn't want to call Abaya by the name Nachmeni because that was his father's name, and it's not such a common name. And the Rambam says you shouldn't do that. So he wouldn't call Abaya by the name. What did he call him? He called him Abaya. Abaya is like Avi, my father. He's like my father. In other words, he carries the name of my father. So here we actually see that even though I assume Abaya was given that name because of his grandfather, nonetheless, Rabba did not want to call Abaya by that name. He called him by the name Nachmeni. He called him by the name Abaya, which means my father. And as the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, Yeridei Reish Mem says, we see this by a father. Certainly it's also true by a Rebbe. You shouldn't greet your Rebbe, say hi to him, or respond to his greeting like friends that greet each other and reciprocate. You know, like a buddy. Hey, how you doing? What's up? What's going on? That's not how you greet your teacher. You bow a little bit. With awe and respect, you say, peace on you, my Rebbe. And if your Rebbe greeted you, you respond, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Umayri. Peace unto you, my Rebbe, my teacher. Vav. V'chein layachlitz tefillah lefnei Rabbi. One should not remove his tefillin in front of his Rebbe. V'lo yosev, he should not recline in front of his Rebbe. For example, by the Pesach Seder, when we recline on our left, which is a certain level of uninhibition in front of your Rebbe, it compromises the awe and respect. And again, as I mentioned before, real halacha is more than instruction. It's a manifestation of the organic divine vision of the universe. It's living a life that is attuned with the truest spiritual nature of our cosmos. A student in front of his Rebbe, when you really have that relationship, organically, naturally, intrinsically, the student won't recline. That's what the halacha codifies as Jewish law. Ela yoshev ki yoshev lefnei hamelech. You sit in the presence of your Rebbe, like you're sitting in front of a king. V'lo yispalel, you should not daven lo lifnei Rabbi, not right in front of your Rebbe, where your back is to your Rebbe. Or v'lo la'achar Rabbi, you're right behind your Rebbe. V'lo b'tzad Rabbi, you're right to his side. V'ein tzarech le'mashas lo la'halach b'tzid, you shouldn't walk right to his side as though you were equals. Eli yisrachik la'achar Rabbi, v'lo yeimechum v'kenegad achayrev. When you want to daven, you should go a little, create some distance between you and your teacher, not right in back of him, and not right on the side of him, and not right in front of him. You should go back a little bit, and you shouldn't be right behind his back. And then daven. You shouldn't go into with his Rebbe to the bathing house. He shouldn't sit in the place that's designated for his teacher. If there's a conversation and a debate between his Rebbe and another person, he shouldn't mix in and start arguing with his teacher or arguing with the other person. He shouldn't contradict the words of his Rebbe. He could ask a question. He's supposed to ask questions, but he shouldn't disrespectfully contradict his words. He shouldn't sit down in front of him until the Rebbe tells him to sit. He shouldn't get up until the Rebbe tells him to stand. Or if he has to go, he should ask permission and excuse himself. And when he leaves the presence of his Rebbe, he shouldn't turn his back to the Rebbe, but rather he should walk away backwards, and his face is facing the face of the Rebbe, so he moves backwards. And then at some point he turns around. Zion. A student is obligated to rise in front of his Rebbe the moment he sees him coming, even if it's far away. As far as his eyes can catch a vision of the Rebbe coming, the student already has to stand up till his Rebbe's image is eclipsed from him, and he does not see his figure anymore, then he could sit down. Person is obligated to go greet and welcome his teacher on Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. You don't show deference, you don't show honor to a student in front of the Rebbe, unless the Rebbe was common to give him kavod. If the Rebbe had a tradition, it was his custom to show special respect to the student, and part of respecting your teacher is showing respect to the student. But if the Rebbe is just an ordinary student, you shouldn't show respect to him in front of the Rebbe. Why? Even though the student deserves respect. But again, we go back to our metaphor. When the moon is in the presence of the sun and in its closest proximity, the light of the moon is not seen. Or as they say, when the sun shines, you don't see the stars. You don't see the stars. I once went to a voice teacher. To help me with my voice many years ago. So he gave me a lot of homework, and I didn't do the homework. So the next week I came back, and he gave me a lot of mussar. And he says, you know what your problem is? Your problem is you think that you're a star, and therefore you don't have to do my homework. But I want you to remember something. I am the sun. I am the master of voice lessons. And when you're in the presence of the sun, you don't see any stars. When the sun is shining, you don't see any stars. When the Rebbe is present, you don't give respect to another Talmud. He may be a star, but now you're in the presence of the sun. Not because the star is not there, but because the modus operandi, the MO of a student in the presence of the Rebbe is absolute bittul, absolute selflessness, absolute humility. And that becomes your source of wisdom, that becomes your source of success. Because you become a complete recipient of the light. Unless the Rebbe had a custom to show this student covet, and then part of respecting your Rebbe is to respect the student. all the labors, all the types of services that a servant does for his master, a student should do for his rebbe. What happens if you're in a place where people don't know him and he doesn't have tefillin? And he's afraid if he starts serving his teacher, people will think that he's an eved, he's a servant. Remember, an eved k'nayni, a non-Jewish servant, usually didn't put on tefillin. He's not obligated to put on tefillin. He's only obligated in the mitzvahs that women are obligated. He has the semi-status of a Jew, even though he's working for a Jew as an eved k'nayni. So he didn't put on tefillin. So if the student is afraid, they're going to think that he's an eved because he doesn't have tefillin. If he has tefillin, put on tefillin. Well, you're serving your teacher, but he doesn't have tefillin. So then, ein anoy lemin olive ein echelze. Then don't put on his shoes. Don't take off the shoes of your teacher. V'chol ha-meneya. And the Rambam concludes this halacha. V'chol ha-meneya talmidoy melashamsha. A Rebbe, by definition, is somebody who must be refined, and he's uncomfortable. So what does he do? He stops his student from serving him. He tells the student, don't serve him. So he says, if you prevent your student from serving you as a Rebbe, mayneya mimenu chesed. You're preventing, you're depriving your student of chesed, of kindness, of grace. Upoydik mimenu yir shamaya. And you are removing from him the awe of heaven. And here again, we see the same principle. By the Talmud serving his teacher, he's actually cultivating Yiras Shamayim, fear of heaven, because the teacher is somebody who's truly reflecting in his own life Yiras Shamayim. V'chol Talmud shemezalzel davar mikol kvoid rabbi goydim l'shchina shetestalik miYisrael. A student who denigrates, who mocks, who disregards, who makes fun, he puts down anything connected to honoring a Rebbe, causes the divine presence to depart from the Jewish people. Now, how do you explain this? Why? The student is not into it. He makes fun of the other Talmud, you know, who's serving the Rebbe. But I think after all of our explanations, the point at this point, the explanation should be quite clear. It's the powerful humility, dedication, commitment, an authentic, deep relationship between student and teacher and student, that allows the divine presence to dwell in Jewish life and Jewish world. It allows the tradition and transmission of Torah from generation to generation. It allows the truths of Yiddishkeit, the consciousness, the divine awareness that Judaism is based on, to be passed on from generation to generation. The student could only gain this by absolute humility and reverence, where he truly, truly becomes a conduit for the wisdom of his Rebbe, and then he could serve as a Rebbe to the next generation. When a student makes light of showing that cover to the Rebbe, and who's a Rebbe? Rebbe is not a tyrant, a dictator, an intellectual manipulator, or a brilliant magician, but a Rebbe is somebody who lived like this towards his Rebbe. Who lived like this towards his Rebbe, who lived like this towards Moshe Rabbeinu, who lived like this type of behavior towards Hashem. This is the Rebbe you show respect to, and if not, it causes the Shechina to depart from the Jewish people. This is how I understand it. Tes, what happens if a student sees his teacher violating the words of Torah? It could be he forgot, it could be he made a mistake, he was having a, whatever it is. Oimer loy, respectfully, he says to him, don't say, Rebbe, you're doing a sin. Hey, Rebbe, what's going on? You're doing an avena. He says, Rebbe, you have taught us so and so. Whenever he wants to remind his teacher something that he heard from him, he doesn't just say, this is how it is. He says, this is what our Rebbe taught us. He should never say something that he did not hear from his Rebbe until he mentions the name of the original author. If he doesn't mention the name of his Rebbe when he says something from his Rebbe, that's fine, because everybody knows that this student is a prodigy and the quintessential mekabel, the recipient from the Rebbe. But if he's quoting somebody else, it behooves him to mention the name of the other person that he's quoting. This is a very interesting halacha, so people shouldn't assume that it comes from his Rebbe. Because they're going to assume if he doesn't say a name, oh, he heard this from the Rebbe. And we are very careful in Judaism to trace back every idea to its appropriate author. So therefore, he has to make sure to mention the person who he heard this from, or he's saying it over in his name, if it's not his Rebbe. Kshayamus Rabbi, when his Rebbe dies, Kareya kol b'gadav atshu magalas libay. He rents, he tears all of his garments until he exposes his heart. Ve'enem ya'achal oylam, and he never mends these garments. B'med varem amurim. Here comes quite a powerful qualification, which I mentioned in the introduction to the chapter. When do these words hold sway? B'rabbi muvak. When we are dealing with Rabbi Muvak. Rabbi Muvak means his permanent teacher, his outstanding teacher, Shalamad Mimenu Roiv Chachmasai. The person from whom he learned the majority of his wisdom. He did not learn from him the majority of his wisdom. Even if he learned from him a lot, he's a Talmud Chaver. He's called a student who's also a colleague. He's not obligated to respect him in the fashion that we described throughout this whole chapter, which was quite intense. He's not obligated that level of honor, that level of glory. I have not found many people who know what the word muvhak means. They know Talmud muvhak. What does the word muvhak mean? So you'll forgive me if I explain it. And if it's obvious to some, that's fine. Why is it called Rabbi muvhak or Talmud muvhak? The word muvhak comes from the word boyhak, which means halo, light, radiance. So what does it mean, a Talmud muvhak or a Rebbe muvhak? It means this. It means that the radiance of this student comes from the teachings of this exclusive teacher. He is the teacher who set your soul on fire. He is the teacher who gave you your light, your boyak, your glitz, your shine, your brightness, your wisdom, your spiritual radiance. He is your Rebbe Muvhak. You are the Talmud Muvhak. Your light you have received from this teacher. That's a unique type of teacher. And he is the teacher, he is the Rebbe, whom the halacha obligates you to show respect in all of the above nuances and scenarios we described. Aval, even a teacher who's not a Rebbe Muvhak, we call you a Talmud Chaver. You're a student, but you're a colleague. Oymed Mulfanov, you still stand up before him. And when he passes away, you rent your garments just like you do for all the other people who die that you're obligated to do kriya. Other relatives, even though it's not a father and a mother, you're still obligated to do kriya. Same is true with a teacher who taught you, even though you didn't learn the majority of your wisdom from him. Extraordinary halach. Even if I learn from somebody one thing, it could be a small thing, it could be a big thing, I'm obligated to stand up before him and to rent my garment when he passes away. Not with the same qualifications like your permanent outstanding Rebbe or a father and a mother, but still there is this obligation to show kavod, even if I learned only one thing of Torah from this person. Yud. V'chol Talmud Chacham Shadei Yosef Mechuvan, as every Torah sage whose character traits are refined, will not speak in the presence of somebody who's greater than him in wisdom, even though he did not learn anything from him. Even though I'm not your student, but the fact that I know that your wisdom surpasses me, I may be a great Torah sage. If my character is refined and developed, the Rambam says, he will remain silent. This is his behavior. He doesn't even say it as halacha, as an obligation. He's saying, the halacha is expressing what is the appropriate thing, how such a Talmud Chacham would naturally behave. Yud Aleph. Harav ha-muvik she-rotza lim-chalal kvayda b'chalad varim eloi be-echad mehem l'chol talmid v'l'echad mehem ar-reshuz b'yadai. This outstanding teacher, your permanent teacher, the one who set your soul on fire and gave you the majority of your wisdom, he wants to forgo on his honor in all of the issues we discussed above, or one of them, for all the students, or maybe just for one student. He has the full permission, the famous expression of the Gemara, Talmid Rav Shemachal al Kvaidai, Kvaidai Machal. V'afal pi Shemachal, even though he forgoes his honor, does this mean you could start throwing wet sponges on him and apples on him? No. Chayav HaTalmid Lahadrai. The student is obligated to respect him and behave in a beautiful, honorable way towards him. Afilu b'sha shemachal, even when he forgives. So for example, the Paiskim say, the Rebbe walks in, you stand up. Because remaining sitting, even if you know that he doesn't care, it's actually showing disrespect. And that the student is not allowed to do. Right? Or sitting down in his place. Even if you know he's not going to get upset at you. Maybe if he wants you to do it, as I said before the story, then you have to, you should, or you could. But even if he's not going to get upset, but there's certain things, you still have to be respectful. But you don't have to fulfill all of the obligations of kavod that we spoke about earlier. Yud Beis. Now the Rambam shifts. This is student to teacher. What about teacher to student? Short and succinct, two halachas. But every word priceless. K'shem sh'atalmidim chayav mikvod harav. Just as the students are obligated to respect the teacher, kach harav tzorich lechabed es talmidav ulekarvam. The Rambam says, this is a reciprocal relationship. It's not a one-way street. You're telling me the students have to show respect and awe and reverence, and it's like Hashem's reverence. He says, just as the students are obligated to have kavod to their Rebbe, The Rebbe is obligated to respect the students. And he adds a word, ulekarvam, and to embrace them, to bring them close, to build a close, intimate relationship with them. Kachamru chachamam, this is what the sages said in Pirkei Avos. Yichvoi talmid chachavav alecha kishalach. The honor of your student should be as precious and beloved like your own. V'tzarech adam lihizoyer b'talmidav ula ahavam. And a person is obligated to be very sensitive and cautious to his students and to love them. Shehem habonim hamahanim boilam hazal oilam haba. They are really children. They are like children. They are your children who bring you pleasure and growth and benefit in this world and in the next world. I was speaking to a teacher the other day and he said, what's the source? He said, you heard a speech of mine that I said that teachers have to love their students. He says, what's your source? This is a new philosophy. Teachers don't have to love their students. Teachers have to discipline their students. Teachers have to make their students accomplish great goals, which is all true. Hey, you see, the Rambam says clearly, Tzarich Adam li hizohir b'talmidav ula ahavam. And he adds, because they are children. Should parents love children? Teachers should love every single student. And the Rambam explains why. They are the ones who will ultimately bring you the greatest hana in this world and in the next world. Yud Gimel. Ha-talmidim ha-yisifim chachmas haravu marchivim libay. The students increase the wisdom of the teacher and they broaden, they expand in his heart and his horizons, his perspectives. Amru chachamim, the sages said, the rabbi said, "It's a Gemara in Maseches Tainis Dav Zayin. Harbe chochma lamadati mirabo yisai. I have learned much wisdom from my teachers. V'yoyser mechaveri. I have learned even more wisdom from my friends. Umitalmida yoyser mikulam. But from my students, I have acquired the most wisdom. Ukeshem sheitz katan madlikas agadol. Sometimes it takes a little twig to ignite the large log. You're making a fire and there's a big log and you can't get the log on fire. What do? You light a little branch or a little twig and the eitz katan ignites the big log. So he says, kach talmid katan. Small student. Sometimes you look at a student, he seems small, whether it's academically or in other ways, like a little twig, a little branch. Don't underestimate that little branch. He is the one who causes the great log to become on fire, to catch the fire. Mechadid esarav, the small student, sharpens the Rebbe. At sheyotzi mimenu b'sheylois of chochma mefuara. Through the questions of this younger small student, he extracts from the teacher the most brilliant and beautiful wisdom.